This is Floor Radio. This is the final part of a three-part series featuring excerpts from Mohawk Industries' first quarter earnings conference call. As we join this, we'll be listening to more of the Q&A session. Those questions will be fielded by Jeff Loberbaum, Mohawk's chairman and CEO, and by Frank Boykin, the company's chief financial officer.
Our next question comes from the line of David Goldberg with UBS.
Good morning. It's actually Susan.
Good morning.
First question, you noted that you had sort of deferred some of the promotions in your rug business. As things are starting to stabilize a little bit, are you finding that you have a little bit more breathing room, perhaps, in terms of your promotions, the timing maybe, and the types of deals that you're offering?
I think, let me change the question. What we said was that our customers were deferring their promotional activities, not us.
Okay.
So what happens is some of the customers that had promotions in the first quarter pushed them out later in the year. Therefore, we didn't have to ship them in the first quarter.
Okay. Okay. And then you also noted that you are gaining some traction with the larger builders. Can you talk about maybe how you're achieving these gains and some of maybe the, in terms of the pricing, are you seeing a lot of price sensitivity with these guys or... how things are going there?
There's always price sensitivity, so that's not a new activity. I think that, you know, we're focused on having the right products for the individual markets. We're focused on creating specifications within each one that adds value to them. We have a series of good, better, best products that make it easy for them to trade the customer up and satisfy the needs. And I think we're aggressively going after all the channels.
Our next question comes from the line of Dan Oppenheim with Credit Suisse.
Thanks very much. Just a quick question here. With the new product introductions that you have, both in the Dowel tile and in the Unilin segment, it seems that you're certainly going for a more targeted niche, likely higher margin. And I try, if you can quantify that or you know, provide some color in terms of expected margins on some of those new product offerings, and just thinking about the continuing mix shift going towards those two segments and a bit away from the Mohawk segment where there's been a bit more trading down, how do you think about the overall impact on company-wide margins?
I'm not prepared to give you specific margins, but you did interpret it properly that in all the businesses, you know, there are commodity parts of the business. We are supporting those commodity pieces in the Dowel tile business, but in Dowel tile and Unilin, we are really focused at improving the mix and improving the products to achieve more margin as we go through, which is how we intend to enhance the margins as we move forward.
Our next question comes from the line of David McGregor with Longbow Research.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Any chance of having you quantify the impact of startup costs associated with your various ventures that are ramping?
On an annual basis, we estimate it to be about $15 million this year. You know, the big chunks would be the Salamanca plant startup, the Russian plant, and then other expenses just associated with all the other capital investments we're putting in.
Okay, and of the $15 million, what do you think we saw in the first quarter?
If you assume 25% of it, you'll be close.
It's pretty linear. Okay. Second question is just looking at the Mohawk segment margins, and I realize first quarter is always difficult to interpret due to the distortion of the seasonal patterns and everything, but first quarter you put up a 3.6% margin. Certainly in better times you got that margin in first quarter up to 5.5% to 7%, and obviously there's a big volume difference between now and when you were peaking out margins. But I guess the question is, how much unrecovered cost inflation are you seeing in the Mohawk segment since the peak?
Since the peak?
Yeah, how much unrecovered cost inflation?
I have no idea off the top of my head.
I wouldn't even know how to calculate it.
A lot.
the two things that happened is there's been a tremendous decrease in the volume of the industry. There's been a huge decrease in the mix of the trade-ups where we used to sell much higher proportions of higher value, higher margin products. And as the retailers trying to attract customers, they started selling price as the reason to be rather than trying to sell the thing that fits the need the most. It's going to change. I don't think we've seen a lot of it yet, but we're expecting as the consumers get more comfortable with the marketplace that we'll see a significant improvement in the mix in all the businesses, you know, as the economies improve.
Our next question comes from the line of Sam Darkash with Raymond James.
Good morning, Jeff. Frank, how are you?
Good, Sam.
A couple questions here. I know you said that your customers with the deferred of the promos and rug, they deferred it to later in the year, and they also drew inventories down. Are you still seeing that activity or the effects of that activity here in the second quarter, or will that dissipate? And then I've got a follow-up question.
We're anticipating that the second quarter will be more normalized, but you don't know until they send you the orders.
But you would already see it in April, though, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, so far we believe the second quarter is going to be more normal. That's it. But you never know until it's over.
Okay.
But we're anticipating more normalized results in the second quarter.
And this is our rug business we're talking about.
Correct. I understand, yes. And the second question, prior to this quarter in the carpet segment, you had been pretty consistently gaining share over the past few quarters and then maintained share largely in this quarter in carpet. Based on the fact that Beaulieu struggled getting a price increase through, I would have thought that the share situation might even have been better than the maintenance. Can you talk about market share trends in the industry, what you're seeing, and prospectively what you would imagine to see over the next few quarters?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that makes it hard is that as we all increase prices, we're all trying to identify the future cost of the business and pass them through. And we think there was some confusion in some of the competitors of what the raw material prices were going to be. So with all those things, it impacted some of the pricing strategies going into the year. And some of the competitors tried to raise prices again at a later point. And so all that has to do with how the pricing is and the mix is. So it could have impacted our sales volume a little bit. But we think that we're set up properly for the future. We think that we are bringing products to the market that add value to it. We believe that we're capturing a greater share of the premium market with the positions we're taking and innovation we're bringing in the marketplace. So we're happy with our position for this year.
Our next question comes from the line of Dennis McGill with Zelman.
Hello, thanks. Can you talk a little bit more about the carpet volumes? I think you said overall it sounds like carpet volumes are pretty stable. And I think you said that commercial or non-residential outgrew residential. So just wanted to confirm those numbers. And then on the residential piece, if you could maybe break that down between what you're seeing on the retail side versus any builder business.
What we said was that the industry grew about 3% and that in our business, the commercial business was slightly stronger than the residential business. And that's the detail as we're prepared to give you.
But Jeff, that 3%, that's dollars or that's units? Okay, so you're not willing to talk about just generally even how you're seeing the split between retail and non-retail within the residential business?
Retail and non-retail.
You mean builder and the rest of the business?
Right, right.
I'm not sure we're able to break that out.
I'm not sure
give you an accurate number.
I mean, when you get it, we can internally, you know, we track some of it, but the same products go through both. We think that there's some strengthening of the builder, but again, you have to remember that when you build a new house, we're the last thing in it. So when the start, you got to add close to 9 months before we see it.
Our next question comes from the line of John Ball with Stifel Nicolaus.
Good morning. Thank you, and good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Well, and I mean this in a serious, not funny way. How are you going to hold SG&A flat? I assume there's going to be a material increase in executive bonuses compensation.
Yeah.
I knew you'd laugh, but seriously, we got other decreases that are going to offset that?
I mean, we've made a lot of changes in the past 12 months, and we continue to change the business to reduce the cost. We continue to change the business to find productivity. We continue to manage the investments we put in it better, and our goal is to try to hold it flat, you know, with increasing volume, because if you want to have higher margins, you're going to have to get leverage in the, as the business grows up, you're going to have to leverage the fixed costs and pieces we go through. And we're doing everything we possibly can. If the business grows more than we think it is, we're going to have to put more investment in, but we put the actions in to try to hold the costs.
And my second question kind of relates to the bigger picture, and we've talked a lot about the Mohawk division on this call. I'm curious on the Daltile and Unilin, could you revisit again, Frank, the sort of where you think margins can go to question in light of, you know, Mexico, which is a lower priced product, some of the things you're doing in laminate or DIY, just kind of get a feel for how that margin peak years ago compares to where it might go back to in light of some of the changes in the business.
So, yeah, you know, John, if you just take each of the two separately, first Daltile, you know, we still believe we can get margins back up to kind of 13-14% range there. You talked about Mexico, and our margins in Mexico, once we get that Salamanca plant up and running and move the production down out of Monterrey down into Salamanca, you know, we'll be in line with the rest of the tile business in terms of the margins there. And then on the Unilin side, we've talked about margins, 14 or 15% in that range when we get back to a normalized environment. And that's lower than where we were at the peak. But, you know, we've talked about we're trying to increase our market share and improve our position both in the U.S. and in Europe by getting, you know, moving into the DIY channel a little bit more. And, you know, that'll impact us favorably from a margin dollar standpoint, but we'll see a little bit of decline in the margin percentage from where we were at the peak.
Our next question comes from the line of Robert Wettenhall with RBC.
Desi, filling in for Bob. Thanks for taking my question. Were there certain geographies or segments where price increases were less effective and maybe unable to keep up with some of the raw material inflation?
I'm sure there were, but I mean, I don't know it. We go down to individual customers and pieces and markets. I mean, we have to meet market competition where it goes, and we adjust them, but we think we're going to recover about what we needed to recover.
Okay, and kind of a follow-up, were there any raw materials that increased in price more than you had expected going into the quarter?
We're in the Mohawk division. In the Mohawk piece, it's pretty up and through the end of the first quarter, the raw materials were similar to what we had anticipated in the marketplace, and we spent a lot of time trying to outguess them, and so far we were close through the first quarter. Now what happens from here forward, we'll have to see.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of John Lane with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just had a few questions about your pay down of the April maturity. My question is, do you plan to come to market to refinance that in any way, or do you think that you'll just pay down the revolver with free cash flow?
Yeah, we'll do the latter. We rolled it in the revolver, and we'll just pay down the revolver with free cash flow.
All right, great. That was about it for me. So thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Mike Wood with Macquarie.
Hey, guys. This is Adam in for Mike. Just a quick question on Unilin. Can you talk about maybe the core growth in that segment, stripping out kind of any new products? I know you kind of called out FX or any price or anything like that.
Your question is, what's the organic growth if you pull out new products and acquisitions?
Yes.
Oh, we can pull it all out. We can tell you that about 1.5% of it came from the Australian acquisition, the net sales increase. A large part of the sales in that Australian business, we were supplying as a supplier, so you have to deduct that from the piece. So that was about 1.5%. The rest of it, I can't put a number on.
Okay, thanks.
At this time, I would like to turn the call back over to management for closing comments.
We appreciate you being on the call. We think we're well positioned in the marketplace, and we're taking the right actions for the business for the coming year. Have a nice day.